Going to continue the reading from the Gospel of Luke, telling more of the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives has this name." Then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately, Zechariah's mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all the neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, What then will this child become? For indeed the hand of the Lord was with him. Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, and he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown mercy, promised to our ancestors, and remembered his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our ancestors, Abraham and Sarah, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly in Israel. In our hearing, our speaking, our living. Well, this is a short sermon about two people we do not usually think about. The reading this morning is a long story, and it's wrapped around the story of the birth of Jesus. And the Sunday before Christmas, it would make sense to actually talk about Jesus, but I'm not going to, at least not directly, because I think we need to give a little credit to John the Baptist. All four Gospels mention John as each begin. Sure, Jesus is the reason for the season, but John is an important supporting actor, a little like Missandei was to Daenerys, or Sam Tarly to Jon Snow, or the Wood Brothers to Junior Johnson. That was an Irwin reference, and he's not here. Or Venus to Serena. Well, you get the idea. And actually, I'm not going to talk much about John. He is barely mentioned as part of the story. I'm going to talk about Elizabeth and Zechariah, two people who were blameless in God's sight and who seemingly had good lives, except for one thing. They had no children. And I'm going to talk about God, who, as many prophets said on many occasions, had plans to do something to rescue, to reform, to renew the people of Israel. God decided that now was the time, and John and Jesus were the place to start. And it really started with their parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, and Mary and Joseph, who said yes to their part of God's plan. The story of John's birth has two parallels from the Old Testament. It calls to mind Abraham and Sarah and the birth of Isaac, and Elkanah and Hannah on the birth of their son Samuel, the prophet and the kingmaker of both Saul and David. John would have qualities of each. Plus, saying that John will be filled with the Holy Spirit is a reference to the prophet Isaiah, of the prophet Elijah, who reformed the people of Israel. All of this is important because it sets the scene. It tells us what God was up to. John will be the Samuel and Elijah of his day. When Gabriel told Zechariah about his part of the plan, Zechariah gave the usual biblical response, "Oh no, not me. Surely you're not talking about me. Everybody did that, you know. Abraham did it, Moses, David, Isaiah, Jonah, Jeremiah, Joseph, even Mary had an objection. Me? Not me. Yes, I am talking about you." And finally, the characters say yes and go along. Except for Zechariah. He must have pushed back a little too hard. "But Gabriel, I'm too old. And besides, my wife is too old. Dude, I stand in the presence of God. I know what I'm talking about. I have this on good authority. Now stop talking." "Okay, stop talking for 9 months. You'll see." And Zechariah saw. And after 9 months, he was able to talk again. And he gave us this wonderful, powerful song filled with Old Testament allusions and images. God was going to do it this time. God cares for us. And this baby John is going to tell people all about the great Savior who is about to come and make things right. Zechariah's song is a lot like Mary's Magnificat. The people around them were amazed, bewildered, and wondered what will happen to this baby John. Well, we know the rest of the story. The gospel writers, nearly all the Old Testament writers, tried hard to anchor Jesus in the traditions of the Hebrew scriptures. Abraham and Sarah were the new thing. All the rest of us are just the children of Sarah and Abraham. We are all the children of God. And Jesus is going to save the family of God. This is a great story. A chapter of the great story about Jesus. John's message in Luke 3 is similar to the things Jesus said, whoever has two coats must share. Share your food. Tax collectors should only gather the amount owed and not be greedy. Everyone went to the wilderness to hear John. Even Roman soldiers. And John was paving the way for Jesus. Now, of course, after Gabriel's visit, Elizabeth and Zechariah had to wait 9 months. Mary and Joseph had to wait 9 months. God picked Elizabeth and Zechariah because they were faithful. But they had to wait. So are you ready for Christmas? Can you wait? Can you not wait? Are you ready right now? Well, tough. Because guess what? We have to wait. And while we are waiting, we are called to be faithful people, good people. And by good, I mean good. I don't mean great, as in great people in the eyes of the world. God didn't call great people the Ivy Leaguers and the beautiful and the handsome and the people with thousands of Twitter followers. I really have to object to people who say Mr. Trump is somehow the chosen one. God works with people who are a little more humble, among other objections. The people God works with are mostly minding their own business, doing the best they can. That's what we are called to do. Does God have a plan in your life? Absolutely. You're to be good and ethical people. Be devoted to God, to follow Jesus. You probably won't be the parents of another John the Baptist, but that's okay. Elizabeth and Zechariah didn't think so either at first. And so a word of advice. If an angel comes and tells you God has big plans for you, object once. Who, me? Oh, I'm not worthy. But then say yes. It's so much easier than to suffer months of silence. None of us